T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm going to talk to our guest now about it. Founding member of the Project 21 and a Fox News contributor, also contributor to National Review, DeRoy Murdoch joins us now. DeRoy, great to have you back on the show.
Hey, great to be with you.
So I'm listening to Sheila Jackson Lee there. She's imploring her colleagues there to recognize racism as a national security threat. And you can't go probably 10 or 15 minutes of watching the mainstream media without hearing something that is just a given, that this president is a racist. It's the way he is. It's the way he always has been. Is this a thought out process by these individuals to label him as this? Or is this something he's rightfully earned?
Oh, you know, he's a racist just like the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. I mean, it's as axiomatic as that. It's an unbendable law of physics, or at least that's what they'd like you to believe. I think now that the Russia story has collapsed, that's gone nowhere. Impeachment may not go anywhere. So now they've all decided, okay, let's just change the talking points to racism, 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 racism. And they just say it all the time. And as Dr. Goebbels of Nazi Germany taught us, if you repeat the big lie long enough and frequently enough and loudly enough, people eventually will believe it's true. And the big lie the Democrats and the left are pushing is that Trump is a racist. Why? Well, because he's a racist, and that's pretty much the extent of it. It's ugly, it's nasty, it's unbelievably divisive, totally unfair, and it's just one more thing that they're doing that's tearing our country to pieces.
Well, I'm reading through this National Review article that you wrote, and people can see DeRoy Murdoch's contributions to National Review at nationalreview.com. And you have an article called Don't Ignore Trump's Unifying Anti-Racist Rhetoric. The one thing when I have callers reach out to my show and they say, you got to admit, Donald Trump's a racist, and I ask them for examples, it often ends up in the conversation of, well, he hasn't done enough to renounce it. You're here suggesting that the president has offered unifying and anti-racist rhetoric.
Over and over and over and over again. I have in this article 25 different examples of when he either has denounced racism, denounced white supremacy, denounced anti-Semitism, spoken up favorably about blacks, favorably about Jews, said warm things about Muslims, hosted an iftar dinner, which is a dinner you do at the end of after sundown on Ramadan. None of this gets covered in the media. In fact, I think they cover up a lot of this. And like I say, at least 2 dozen times I'm aware of that he's done exactly what the media and the left say, which is, we want you to unify us, say something positive, say something to isolate and condemn white nationalism. He does it again and again and again, and they don't give him credit for it. Or what they'll do is they'll say, well, he read something off a teleprompter. He doesn't really believe it. So the goalpost always moves. First, he's never said it, and then it's, oh, well, he said it, but he doesn't really believe it, and so on. Or they just pretend he didn't do it, and they cover it up. Best example I can give you on this was after the attack at Poway Synagogue near San Diego. You may recall that was about 3 or 4 months ago. A gunman went in and shot up a bunch of people, killed several. The rabbi was injured but not killed, and a few days later, the President of the United States had him at the White House. And he was in the Rose Garden, Rabbi Israel Goldstein, and the President said at that time, we forcefully condemn the evil of anti-Semitism and hate, which must be defeated. Rabbi Goldstein was in the Rose Garden and thanked the President for his phone call, which was the day of the attack. He said, I was crying, I was mourning. My healing didn't begin until you, Mr. President, called and started my healing. He said, you're a mensch par excellence. And there was the President of the United States there with the Rabbi Goldstein from that synagogue. His hands are bandaged because his fingers, several of his fingers have been shot off by this gunman in the Rose Garden. Very moving, very touching. Guess how much time that story got on ABC, CBS, and NBC Nightly News that evening?
Yeah, hardly any, because I remember you, as you're telling that story, I can remember the existence of that, but it certainly wouldn't be the lead headline or anywhere near it if someone were to retell the story of the aftermath of that horrific incident.
Oh, I wish it were that good. The answer to the question is zero. They spent 0 minutes and 0 seconds.
Wow.
Now, they easily could have said, look, we don't like Trump. We're going to run 10 seconds of tape and let the anchor say, at the Rose Garden, President Trump met with a Rabbi Goldstein of the Poway Synagogue. They had a very warm meeting. In other news, no, they didn't do that. They spent 0 minutes, 0 seconds at a time when Jews in this country were terrified, thinking, oh, my God, is anti-Semitism erupting again? Gentiles are feeling sorry for the Jews in that situation. The whole country's tense. What you want is when the president tries to unify the country, the three major networks provide that story so people are comforted and also so that anti-Semites know, gee, I guess if President Trump is meeting with the rabbi, he's really not on our side, the side of the anti-Semites, so maybe we should stop doing what we're doing. They didn't put that out. And by keeping the president's message against anti-Semitism from reaching the ears of anti-Semites, what the major media do is make it easier for them to do what they do, conduct their evil, believe their awful thoughts, because as far as they're concerned, the president doesn't care about it.
You know,
but in fact, he cared enough to have that rabbi there, and the major news news networks covered up that story that evening. Horrible, disgusting malpractice on the part of America's media.
Malpractice, you know, at best, and there's much worse that could be said about that. I was going to ask you if you believe that the racial tensions in this country are worse now than they have been in the past, but I was initially going to ask you that question in the context of Donald Trump, but I think that you've kind of answered my question in that it may be worse now than it has been before, but the blame might not rest with Donald Trump, where the left directly points to that blame.
Well, you know, again, when he says the sorts of stuff that he does and they don't talk about it, it allows people to think that things are worse than they really are, or the president's certainly worse than he is. For example, his very first speech to Congress, he said, "We may be a nation divided on policies. We are a country that stands united in condemning hate and evil in all its very ugly forms." The day of the Charlottesville attack, it was, in fact, 2 years ago today, as the attack started, about 10:15 in the morning, when the riots began, he said, "Racism," I think they believe this was a statement he made, August 14th, "Racism is evil, and those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans," unquote. He actually said that a couple days after the riots. I mean, that is as clear a denunciation and renunciation and condemnation of white supremacy, KKK, and the neo-Nazis as anybody would want. They never talk about that. They just say, oh, he eggs these people on, he encourages them. I don't know how you encourage people by saying that they are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans.
Yeah.
That doesn't really encourage you as a white supremacist to keep doing what you're doing.
Absolutely. We're speaking with DeRoy Murdoch, as a founding member of Project 21, also a Fox News contributor. I don't know about your personal experience with the president or people who you know who have personal experience with this president, but is there, from people who come to this president, they happen to be a minority, that the stories that I hear tend to be that he is very welcoming and very open to the conversations that exist around discussing these kinds of topics and how to make an effort to make the community better for, you know, some of the poverty-stricken areas that might be minorities, which there are plenty of poverty-stricken areas that are completely white. But also, you look at the job market and the jobs that become available, that helps rise all ships. And so Your experience with the president or people who you know in that person-to-person communication, how he relates to that?
I've never met the man. I actually met the man very briefly once at a 4th of July event, actually. But I can't say I know him very well. But the people I know who are minority members speak very highly of him. They say he's very warm and friendly and cordial. You are correct that black unemployment, Hispanic unemployment are at or close to record low levels ever because of the tax cuts, deregulations, other policies that he's implemented. But there's some specific things he's done that are disproportionately helpful to minorities. One is, I believe, about 6 weeks after he came to the White House, he had in the Oval Office about three dozen presidents of historically black colleges and universities. He announced that he was going to open an office in the White House to help those historically black colleges and universities navigate the federal bureaucracy, receive whatever kind of aid they could. One of the things that they wanted was for Pell Grants to be available for summer school. Apparently, a lot of the students go to summer school. They wanted Pell Grants to cover that. And they asked Obama about it for 8 years. He didn't do anything about it. And guess what? Donald J. Trump, this alleged racist, said, okay, we'll make Pell Grants available for summer school. So they got that. He signed the Criminal Justice Reform Bill, the First Step Act. This is something that, of all people, Black Lives Matter had been pushing, which is something which allows people who are nonviolent criminals to get out of prison if they meet certain conditions. that has a disproportionate effect on black prisoners and black families. That's a good thing for black folks. If he hated black people, he wouldn't have done that. If he hated black people, I don't think he would have signed the Opportunity Zone bill, which is part of the tax reform tax cut effort. And this will, I think it's something like 8,000 or 9,000 poor low-income communities in the United States, many of them black, will be able to get various incentives to make it easier to start businesses and have businesses thrive in those areas. If he hated black people, I don't think he would have included that in the tax cut bill. Those are just a couple of examples. And, of course, he campaigned in a charter school in Cleveland in 2016. He was at a black church in Detroit, black church in Flint, Michigan. And he said in the fall campaign, he'd say over and over again to black voters, vote for me, what the hell do you have to lose? That's his actual slogan he used. He held up signs that said, Blacks for Trump. It goes on and on and on. And the reason that this may come as a total shock to your listeners right now is the media don't want to talk about this. They cover this up, and all they do is scream racism at the tops of their lungs. That's what the left does. That's what the Democrats do. And the left-wing media are more than happy to cover this stuff up, keep it concealed, and let America think that we're run by basically a Klansman in a blue suit, which is A, not true, and B, leads to the kind of tension and division basically social crisis, if you will, that we're experiencing this country right now.
Dory, I've got about 30 seconds here, but the big question is that message getting into those minority communities? Are they seeing the facts as you list them and how this administration is benefiting everybody?
Nowhere to the degree they should. I think the president needs to campaign in black neighborhoods. They ought to be running ads and black entertainment television, black-oriented websites. This story needs to get out there, and the mainstream media are not going to get it out there. He needs to push this himself. And the best thing he can do is show up at as many black churches, black businesses, black town halls, what have you, as he can between now and the election.
Dory Murdoch, a founding member of Project 21 and also a Fox News contributor, joining us now. Great to speak with you, Dory. We really appreciate your insight, and we look forward to the next time.
Very good. Thanks, Annie. Take care now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.